Mr. Millay has added a new meaning to the term Dear John. We will get into that later. Well, I'll tell you about my experiences with deer and cars and roadways. We will have a segment in this show called Millay versus Mother Nature. I don't know why you hate Mother Nature, but apparently you have an issue, John.
Hey, Mother Nature came after me.
Well, it's a fair fight. You know, it's because of your car, it's a fair fight. So we'll get into John's adventures later. We want to talk with some more mainstream prep sports topics here at Preps Today with John Millay. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. And best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Thank you to our sponsor, our longtime sponsor, Pizza Barn in Princeton. All right, let's start with the University of Forest Lake today, John.
Yeah, there is no University of Forest Lake, but that's what I referred to Forest Lake High School's new stadium when I visited it for the first time last week. It's new this fall, and I'm ready to make a declarative statement that I have found the best high school stadium in the state of Minnesota. This place at Forest Lake, and you know, and Jim, you know, I've been to a lot of them, and there's some even here in the metro that have redone their stadiums, but I can't believe there's anything quite on par with what Forest Lake had. It's really spectacular, and you know, it's obvious they put a lot of work into this. I know they looked at a lot of other stadiums, not just in Minnesota. I think they did some traveling, and so last Friday night I went out there. It was really a cool night. It was Tackle Cancer Night, and that's always exciting. And then they also had dubbed it Community Appreciation Night. So everybody got into the football game for free. So, of course, you know, it was a beautiful night. There's a big, massive crowd to see the Forest Lake Rangers and the Roseville Raiders play football. And a heck of a game. They went all the way into overtime before Forest Lake came out on top, 27-20. I go to a lot of football fields on the high school level where the lights aren't great. You know, these lights are great. These lights are more than great. It's I don't know how to describe it. Just the best lighting, and the cool feature is when the home team scores, they flick the lights on and off. It's like a Las Vegas nightclub act. These lights flick on and off. They play music. There's a great sound system. Really quite the atmosphere. The concession stand. Everything's new. It's not just the field. Concession stand is large and efficient. And they did so many little touches that you just don't see a lot of places. Behind one of the end zones, there's basically a building. It's got team rooms for both teams. It's got a room for the officials, which is always nice and rare, sadly. But, you know, 2,500 seats on the home side, another 1,000 on the visitor side. So they can seat 3,500. But the thing that really clinched it for me, as far as, you know, the number one spot, is the press box. I've been in 100 high school football, soccer, lacrosse press boxes. This one's far and away the best. And I know to people who are spectators, you know, you don't think about the press box. But people like us who have worked in press boxes our whole life, we do. This thing is massive. It's long. It's deep. I think I counted 18 chairs. And they're all brand new black office chairs that can sit at the counter in the front. There's tons of room behind that first row for people to stand. You can go up to the roof where they've got video cameras and coaches set up. And as I've often told administrators who are thinking about upgrading their facilities, I always tell them you cannot build a press box that's too big. Right. You just can't. You know, it's going to be filled, especially when the weather's not great. But they really hit it out of the park with this press box at Forest Lake. And I tweeted a bunch of pictures Friday night and got one from inside the press box. And there's some speculation. I can't attest to the fact that some people have said on Twitter, Forest Lake went from having maybe the worst football field around to the best. I don't know that I was ever there with the old grass field. I can't recall. But I know it had one of those huge crowns because, you know, water and drainage was always a problem there. A little bit of rain and the place was a wreck, I guess. But they had such a big crown running from end zone to end zone that they tell me you could stand on the sideline, look across the field, and you couldn't see anybody on the other side from the waist down. That's how big the crown was. So if you're running, you know, to the sidelines, you're going downhill. And but it's spectacular. You know, there's a new track there. with absolutely great spaces for all the field events. And here's another great part of this story is next spring, the Forest Lake Rangers, they will be able to host track meets for the first time in 20 years. So, you know, if you don't have a suitable track, you're not hosting any track meets. So my advice to anybody at any school that's thinking about a new stadium, or you're in the planning stages, go visit Forest Lake. They'll show you around. They're very proud of it. It's fantastic, and it's just, I can't say enough about it. I'm really glad I got to see it. And speaking of turf fields and tremendous facilities, Tuesday night this week, I made my long overdue first visit to Lakeview High School in Cottonwood. Now, there's a lot of people who don't know where that is, and that's fine. It's in southwest Minnesota. It's not far from Marshall, about a three-hour drive from my house. We'll talk about the drive later and the adventures I had. And I've done a little bit of math here, which is always dangerous for me, but the enrollment at Lakeview High School, the MSHSL enrollment in grades 9 through 12 is 148. I think that makes Lakeview the second smallest school in the state with a turf field. Up north on the range, Mountain Iron Buell, their enrollment's 136. They have turf, so I believe that's the smallest. And so this facility in Lakeview is in at Lakeview High School in Cottonwood is just first class all the way. The team's good too. They beat Canby by a large margin Tuesday night. They finished the regular season 7-1, and they could have a nice playoff run there, the Lakeview Lakers. And they did some neat things in Cottonwood with this stadium. The one I like the best, they kept the old scoreboard. I think they basically moved it to the opposite end of the field and then bought a bigger, you know, nicer scoreboard. But there's a scoreboard in behind both end zones. I don't know that I've seen that at a high school football field in Minnesota. That's a cool deal. Press box is good. It's not Forest Lake, but it's very good. Usually at the smaller schools, they're not as crowded as the big schools. But this facility is really special, and they are so proud, and they should be. And I just wanted to say thanks to everybody in Forest Lake and Cottonwood for being so nice to a visitor. Those are two really special places, lots of great people. Special note of thanks to a couple of staff members in Cottonwood, Phil Lalim and Blair Miller. Those two guys, they put on a very, very professional Twitter campaign to get John to Cottonwood. I think that was the hashtag. Hashtag get John to Cottonwood. That's been going on all season. I finally made it for the last regular season game. And they had treats for me when I got there. They took care of me really well. It was really fun. And these facilities, Jim, are just unbelievable. You think back, you know, even 10 years, 15 years, how far we've come in Minnesota with, you know, in the metro, it used to be a big deal. A big metro suburban school would put in turf. And now you got these absolutely tiny schools doing it. So hats off to them.
Good stuff. And you mentioned Tackle Cancer up in Forest Lake. And I want to remind people that we did a special version of Preps Day with John Millay a couple of weeks ago at the TCO opening in Stillwater. We had Randy Shaver. We had the Stillwater football coach. We had Chris Hockey on. It was a blast. I'd go back and check that out if you like prep sports and this conversation. So the thing that reminded me, you know, the conversation that you just reminded me of was, you know, I was telling Randy Shaver, I covered Texas high school football and every little town had just this beautiful stadium. And I was asking Randy, you know, why has Minnesota high school football improved so much, at least perceptually over the last decade or two? And he said, hey, now everybody's putting up nice stadiums and you can have turf fields. You can practice year round. Everybody can use the field. It doesn't get torn up. You know, I don't really care how big the local high school's stadium is in terms of capacity, but the fact that you can use it year round on turf is a big deal.
Yeah. And I think somebody at one of these places told me they were spending, you know, with their grass field, they were spending $50,000 a year just on maintenance of the grass, and they have to stay off it other than games. And with turf, it's a 24-hour surface, and they can rent it out to groups. They can make some money that way. And yeah, what kid doesn't want to play football or soccer or lacrosse on a nice turf field?
Yeah, no question about it. All right, let's get to tournament time.
Yeah, we are there. The fall tournaments are rolling. This is the final week of the football regular season, MEA week, and section tournaments will start next week right away. This is that weird time of year for football where you're going to have teams play, you know, Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday, because you got to cram in these section games. It's a tight schedule, but we're used to it here. The girls' state tennis tournament coming up next week with the Class A team singles and doubles competition at the Inner City Tennis Center in South Minneapolis, and the double A's at Baseline Tennis Center at the University of Minnesota. Girls and boys state soccer tournaments, they begin next week with quarterfinal games around the state and then semifinals and championship games at U.S. Bank Stadium the first week in November. Cross country and volleyball teams, they're getting things wrapped up in the regular season. Girls swim and diving, same thing. So things are really cranking up here in all fall sports, and it's really fun, especially this year, considering that a year ago we did not have state tournaments in our fall sports. We just didn't have them, and section tournaments were abbreviated. It was a weird way to finish the season, so really, really looking forward to this next month or so of tournaments.
Beautiful. We're going to talk about Spartans, and we will get to John versus Nature later, but right now let's hear about Jody Stay's operation in Princeton, the Pizza Barn.
Yeah, the Pizza Barn, our longtime sponsor. We're so grateful for Jody and everybody up there. And I'll remind people again, we're getting towards the late October days. So if you want to get the pizza of the month for October, it's the Oktoberfest. It's a fan favorite. Their homemade crust, which is fantastic. Some barbecue sauce, some diced bratwurst, sauerkraut, mozzarella, and Swiss cheese. Black pepper that you can dine in. They'll deliver it. You can take and bake. It's the buffet's coming back, which was a victim of COVID. And as we often say, if you're on Highway 169 going north or south, veer off into downtown Princeton. It's easy to find the Pizza Barn, a family-owned business since 1983. Such a strong, community-minded business that does so much for so many. And again, thanks to Jody Stay and everybody at the Pizza Barn.
Pizza Barn Princeton, the food truck is fantastic. If you can't get there, order up the food truck. They're going to add another food truck. They're booked out for a while now, so get on it. Let's get to Spartans for Life.
Yeah, this was something I don't know that I've done a lot, Jim. 4 years ago, I wrote about a football team that was in the first year of a co-op agreement where schools without enough kids to have their own team or to safely play football will merge. And this was St. Clair, a public school down by Mankato, and then Mankato Loyola, a private school. Back in 2018, they started this co-op. So kids who in other sports are St. Clair Cyclones or Loyola Crusaders, on the football field, they're Spartans. And I watched their last game of the season 4 years ago, wrote about the post-game scene, which was quite emotional. I know people in St. Clair have mentioned that story to me over the years and people at Loyola. So I kind of returned now. It's been 4 years since this co-op started. So I went to practice one day last week with the team. And I've talked with Dustin Bossart. He's the head coach and the principal at St. Clair. But mostly I talked to the seniors who were in ninth grade when this co-op started. And it was really interesting to hear them talk about, you know, I said, let's go back 4 years. You find out. You're not going to be a St. Clair Cyclone. You're going to have a co-op team with kids from Loyola. What was that like? And it was weird for all of them. They just, you know, we don't know those people. We know some of them. You know, we know who some of them are, maybe from other sports, but we don't know them. And, you know, 4 years later, these kids who are seniors, they all told me that some of their best friends go to the other school and they love competing. And so you can read that original story from 2018, as well as the new one here. Go to John's Journal on mshsl.org, and you can read about the Spartans.
Excellent. Let's get to Goodhue now.
Goodhue is a great place down in southeast Minnesota. Went down there last week for a football game, and I've been to Goodhue several times, but I think just for basketball. I'd never been there for football. And one of my goals right now and probably moving forward is I want to go to places I've never been. So, you know, I go to Cottonwood, I go to Goodhue, Forest Lake, which I'd never been for football. So I went down to Goodhue last Thursday night, and this is another great, great small town football field. It's real grass. It's fantastic grass. They don't have a track in town. They have track and field teams, but they don't have a track. So all the fans are right on top of the action. There's a row of pine trees behind the visitor's sideline. It's just a really scenic little place, you know, as the sun's going down. And this was quite a football game. I don't know if I've ever seen a high school game where the teams combined for 99 points.
Wow.
They both throw the ball and run the ball. And it was a win for Lake City, 59-40. And they are very good. The Tigers are undefeated. They're the top-ranked team in Class 3A. Really an impressive team. The Goodhue Wildcats, this was their second loss of the year. But they're really well-coached, really good athletes, really, really a fun atmosphere. They both play now here at midweek this week to wrap up the regular season. But again, thanks to everybody in Goodhue for treating me like I'm much more special than I am.
Oh, you're special, John. We all are.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, I want to thank a couple key members of the Talk North team. Our producer, Brandon Morton, he's been with us since day one and does a great job, and he's producing this show. And also Karen Cleary, our sales executive. You can reach Karen at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. If you'd like to advertise with this show or any of the shows across the network, we continue to grow and add shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Let's get to Most Valuable Teammate.
Yeah, this week's Most Valuable Teammate, this is an award we do at the high school league. Not Most Valuable Player, Most Valuable Teammate, and that's a difference. Mason Brandstrader from Duluth East, a two-year captain, continues to lead on and off the field. He can be seen volunteering at school events, has made East High School a better place with his infectious energy and school spirit. Mason has taken challenges head on with courage and inspired everybody to be better Greyhounds. Congrats to this week's most valuable teammate, Mason Brandstrader of Duluth East.
Good deal. Now we're going to get to John Millay versus nature. We're going to get to our dear John letter. Tell me what happened.
So I left Cottonwood in high spirits, about a 3-hour drive home. Well, before this all happened, I spent 3 miles on a gravel road. And you know how much I enjoy gravel roads, Jim. There's a little village called Echo that's on the way to Cottonwood. And I was going to just dip into Echo, take a county road that was going to take me all the way to Cottonwood. I had it on GPS, was rolling. But the road was closed. So I kind of took the long way around. I got there in plenty of time. So leaving Cottonwood, I forgot about this closed road. I'm driving down this road, and here comes the sign, road closed ahead. So I could have doubled back, gone all the way back to Cottonwood. I don't know how many miles. So, you know, I got to go left or right. They're both gravel roads. So three miles on a gravel road. Okay, now I'm back on another paved road. I'm heading home. I'm heading east. And it was just one of these deals. I've never hit a deer. I had never hit a deer until Tuesday night, a little after 10 p.m. It was kind of this rolling county road. I'm coming up a little rise, and as I come over the top, boom, there they are. I see about 3 deer, one of them right in front of me. I don't know how far in front of me. I mean, I didn't slam on the brakes. I didn't swerve. You know, they tell you, you know, I'm not going to put myself in the ditch. I'm not going to roll the car. But I turn the wheel to the left, as you know, as far as I thought I can safely do. I got my foot on the brake. You're not hearing the brake squeal. I'm trying to be controlled here, but I couldn't avoid the deer. I kept thinking this deer, which when I hear deer in the headlights, I know exactly what that is. This doe,
yep, it's a real
was
thing,
staring at me. She just was not moving. It looked like a fake deer. And I thought maybe she'll turn her head and run back in the ditch. No, she didn't move a bit. So I clipped her with the right front fender, heard the big thud. And now, and I didn't do, I tried to look in the rearview mirror, and it's just pitch black. There's no lights, surrounded by, you know, corn and soybean fields and the ditches. And do I stop? Do I check on the deer? Well, if the deer's laying there, you know, What am I going to do? I'm not doing CPR on the deer. So I kept going. And now my thinking is the car okay? And I'm driving slowly. Seemed to be fine. And then I was probably 20 miles outside of Redwood Falls. So I did pull over in Redwood Falls where there was some good light and check the right front. It's a little dinged up. I may need to take it in for a little body work, nothing serious. And this is one of those deals. If cars were metal like they used to be, I'd have a heck of a big dent in that thing.
Right.
But it's plastic. It bounced back. It was a little out of place. I kind of used my fist and pounded it back into place and got home and looked at it again. I think it's fine. It may deteriorate. It may just start coming loose, but if that's the worst of it is. So, you know, and that shakes you. I just hit a big animal, and I'm not a hunter. I don't hunt deer. I don't shoot pheasants. It's just not something I've ever done. I don't begrudge anybody who loves to do that. Yeah, go kill the deer. There's too many of them. But boy, I just the pit of my stomach, you know, after hitting that, I felt bad, you know. What could I have done different? And I don't think I could have done anything. So I just keep driving. And I was almost home. I was maybe a half hour, 40 minutes from home. I'm outside of Jordan, Minnesota. And son of a gun, here comes a big fat possum right in front of me again. Same situation. Come over a little rise. The possum, I know the possum's dead because I crunched that thing really 100%. So that didn't cause any damage to the car as far as I know. So I think I killed a deer. I don't know. If somebody sees a white-tailed deer using a walker, because I hit it in the front, if you see a deer with a walker out there, well, that's the one I hit. And then I absolutely crushed a possum. So that was about a three-hour drive in the dark Tuesday night, and it's one I am not going to forget. So I don't have any advice for anybody to avoid hitting deer because I don't know what I could have done different. I suppose I could have floored it and just smacked that thing hard, but then who knows what the car is going to look like. So, yeah, pretty exciting times here on the road. And as a lot of people on Twitter, we've been tweeting about this, have said, how can you do this job for so long and not already have hit several deer? That's a fair question. I guess dumb luck. And now dumb luck has run out.
It's absolutely luck or bad luck or good luck, previously good luck. Here's my deer story covering, yes, I think it was Mahler's induction. And I'm in Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame ceremony. I'm leaving late Sunday night because I'm going to New York to cover the Twins. I think they're playing the Mets or somebody. And so that's, you know, it's a decent drive. I don't know if it's 4, 5, 6 hours, something like that. So it's dark. Pitch dark in upper state New York. There's a lot of hills, a lot of mountains.
Yes.
I'm kind of winding along these mountains and I hit a deer and it went basically came halfway through the windshield. And man. That shakes up a little bit.
Oh God. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I was afraid of as I was closing in on this thing, you know, in about a second and a half. That
I know.
The accident, I mean, just deer, just move, just go. And of course she didn't. And let's, I don't know what you do. There's big animals out there and we're driving and it's dark and
you would think that Darwinism would work to the point where the deers that survive would like tell you, you know, they would develop the sense that you don't go out in the street and stand still. But we haven't gotten there yet.
Nope. Darwinism, I believe in it, but I don't think it's working for the white-tailed deer. No,
it ain't working for the deer. Nope.
And people on Twitter were telling me about deer whistles and all this. And I grew up in Iowa where there's a lot of deer. And my dad had deer whistles on the front of his car. Are you familiar with that, Jim?
I am not.
It's basically these little plastic things you kind of affix to the front of your car, and supposedly when you're driving they whistle, and not you can't hear it, but supposedly the deer can hear it and they'll stay away. But I've never heard anybody tell me that works. I'm not getting deer whistles because I have relatives who hit deer, load up on deer whistles, you know, 2 weeks later hit another deer.
So yeah, I think deer whistles attract deer, so I'm not going to go with that one.
Hey, somebody's whistling for us. Let's get up on the road. Yeah, yeah, quite a fun time here.
Well, I'm just glad you're safe because it can be dangerous. I'm glad you're safe. Glad you got through it, and hopefully that is your one for your lifetime.
Let's go. The worst story I heard like that. I was up in Fargo or Grand Forks one time, and I heard on the radio like an elderly couple was driving up there somewhere in North Dakota. Hit a moose. The moose came through the windshield. They did not survive. The moose didn't survive. The two humans in the car did not survive. See, that's a serious collision.
Yeah, it reminds me when I called the office to tell them I had hit a deer and I had to get a new rental car and all those other things. Dennis Bracken, our old friend, editor at the Star Tribune, Dennis is a classic Minnesotan, and I'm very rattled by the experience. And Dennis is like, oh yeah, I have a friend who just got killed by a hoof coming right through there. I mean, I don't want to hear that right now, Dennis. No, I don't need the darkness right now. Give me some light.
It's exactly right. It's exactly how I still feel today. Yes.
Yeah. Well, rest up if you can.
Good news is we're in the state tournament time now, so I may not be leaving the metro now until sometime in the winter season. So I mean, you can certainly hit a deer in the Twin Cities, but I like my odds here for a few weeks.
Yes, I do too. Yeah. So stay safe. Good show as always. Thank you to John. Thank you to Brandon Morton. And thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com.